This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast. John Anik and Kenny Florian.
I love them. I can't get enough of them.
Let's hear that blast next.
Big jab there from Duffy and Frank Mir is hurt now.
Down goes Duffy on cold. Frank Mir does it again.
Rock'em sock'em robots here. Oh my goodness.
Hyperbole.
They're a couple of absolutely self-involved bull artists.
Here are your hosts, John Anik and Kenny Florian.
Headshot. Bang. Oh, done.
Well, Ken Flo got the collared shirt memo for this episode. Sunday, February 5th, 2023, episode 386 of the Anik and Florian Podcast. I can honestly say if this is episode 386, and it is, I just said it was, I don't think I've ever worn a collar on this podcast. Not one time.
I think you're right. I don't remember it.
Maybe for some award show we got dressed up, but I don't even think that. Right. I don't even think fucking that. We did one episode in our Fox studios when we had a licensing deal with Fox, and yes, I might have thrown on a collar for that. But yeah, as my daughters can attest, you know, we're essentially wearing pajamas out here in South Florida. Speaking of which, not that we willed it to happen. You know, once I saw some of these Floridian based fighters on the fight card, like Santiago Ponzinibbio, I started to think this shit might happen. So UFC 287, April 8th. I already booked a room for my daughter and my wife at the W Hotel Miami, 1.3 miles from Miami-Dade Arena. It needs naming right now, but it's the home of the Miami Heat. And for the first time in 20 years, Ken Flo, the UFC is headed to not Hollywood, Florida, not Fort Lauderdale, with respect, not Orlando, not Jacksonville, not fucking Tampa. 305 Miami, Florida, 50 minutes from my front door. Let's fucking go.
Super cool, man. What a card. What a card. And I know for you, that's got to be special. Just a short drive away. And man, tremendous. So you got Jorge Masvidal on there. He's going to be fighting in Miami. That alone is going to be huge for him. And of course, that city, they'll be there to show up and sell out very quickly, I'm sure.
So I got a lot of text messages after this was announced. And I'm honestly, sometimes I'll get a text message from somebody who might be like number 300 on my list for potential tickets, looking for tickets, right? It's like, man, you know, there are like 25 family members that aren't getting tickets, never mind people that are, right, you know, on a tertiary list. It's a very exciting thing, though, right? Because even though the UFC has done fight nights in Hollywood, I think you and I called Thiago Santos knocking Steve Bossy's head into next week in Hollywood, Florida, if I'm not mistaken, you know, Seminole Hard Rock. And we mentioned Jacksonville, obviously, has been omnipresent on the UFC schedule. Tampa, Orlando, but not since UFC 42, Sudden Impact, April 25, 2003. There's the Wikipedia page to prove it. Has the UFC been to Miami, Florida that night, Ken Flo? Welterweight title fight, your old friend Sean Sherk and Matt Hughes. 20 years, man. 20 fucking years.
It's crazy.
You were, I guess you were in your mid 20s. And yes. I guess just starting to probably embark on your UFC or your MMA journey. It says here, Joe Rogan provided the lead commentary for this event and was joined by color commentator Phil Baroni with further analysis by Eddie Bravo. Very cool. Very excited. I'm going to try to buy a bunch of tickets. And my daughter, Riley, who's 11, will be in the building for the first time at a UFC pay-per-view, which is very exciting. So by the way, I have a mug here of decaffeinated green tea. And it says on it, you can ignore the queen, but she's still the queen. Right? Now, I got this mug for my wife. It's a nice mug. Like, if somebody gets me a mug that says you could ignore the king, he's still the king, I'd be like, no, you can't fucking ignore the king. I don't care about any title or being the king. And this mug that I purchased essentially gives me the right to ignore the queen, which is my wife. So you can ignore the queen, but she's still the queen. All right, well, I'm fucking ignoring. You can be the fucking queen. You can be the fucking princess. I don't care what you are. All right. We have a lot of things to get to, but I thought Miami should lead the dance, even though the biggest superstar in mixed martial arts history is back. We all knew he'd be back. Or I shouldn't say that, but most of us, certainly any of us who know what makes this man tick, knew that Conor McGregor was going to be back in a competitive setting. And there's really only one setting for him, and that's the UFC. And it's going to be Michael Chandler at 170 pounds, and it's going to come on the tail end of a stint on The Ultimate Fighter between these two gentlemen. Your thoughts on all of that?
I think this is the right move for a couple different reasons. I think it's the right move for the UFC. You have a guy in Conor McGregor who has been the biggest name, one of the biggest names in sports, let alone the UFC and mixed martial arts. And he's taken on one of the most exciting fighters in mixed martial arts in Chandler. I think it's a good fight. I think it's going to be an exciting fight. Both those guys have a shot. I'm looking forward to seeing how Conor McGregor comes back from this. On a technical level, I think it's a good fight for him in this first comeback after that broken leg. Chandler, of course, is going to oblige and try to stand and trade to try to entertain the fans. I would think. So I don't know. I think it's going to be an exciting fight and a huge one. And it's a good way to kind of build it up with the Ultimate Fighter.
All right, so Conor McGregor will be competing at 170 pounds. And I hate to get ahead of ourselves in some respects, right? Because they are going to coach on The Ultimate Fighter. And I do think it's a setting in which both men obviously can shine. And we'll see, you know, where Conor McGregor is at in terms of his overall commitment, right? Because I have said he is a master orator, right? Puts me to shame when it comes to like natural articulation skills. So if Conor McGregor is willing to give people things on television alongside Michael Chandler, it could be absolutely electric, right? But ultimately for Conor McGregor, he's 7-0 in the UFC at 145 pounds, 1-3 in the UFC at 155 pounds, 2-1 at welterweight. So there are some unknowns with Michael Chandler competing at welterweight. How do you handicap this fight? I'll get you the betting line in a minute. You know, my twin brother's like ripping on you and me, by the way, just because we can't like predict the betting line. It's like, okay, buddy. You know, he's like, dude, you guys think that fucking Gilbert Burns would be minus 190 against Jorge Masvidal? He's like minus 435 properly priced. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But what do you think about Conor McGregor and this fight at welterweight, even though seemingly it could still be a fight that is relevant when it comes to the lightweight championship picture?
Conor McGregor could fight at any weight at this standpoint. The name is going to bring in fans to watch no matter what. And at 170 pounds, I don't think it's going to be a big deal for either Chandler or Conor McGregor. They're both around the same size. Chandler's going to be a little shorter, a little bulkier. And for Conor McGregor, I think that he's at the stage of his career where unless it's for a belt or leading to a belt, you know, I don't see him wanting to cut that weight at this standpoint. So I don't know. I think this may favor Conor in some ways, but Chandler's not going to have a problem in the power and strength department fighting at 170 pounds against a true 155er in Conor McGregor.
I wonder the extent to which Chandler wants to wrestle. I mean, perhaps there's some backdoor agreement that he can't wrestle and he just has to strike. No, but I think largely it'll be a striking fight. And I do think one of these men is getting knocked out. So, Kenny, care to venture a guess as to what the betting line might be for these two individuals? And you're right. As I let you marinate on it, I want to give you 20 seconds to think about who might be favored and where the price might be. But, you know, it's not like this easy cut for Michael Chandler down to 55 or 56, right? Like, if this was you at this stage of your career, you're Michael Chandler. Ken Flo would love to have this fight at 171 pounds. So to that end, Ken Flo, who's the favorite? What do you think is the betting line? Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler at a date to be determined.
Yeah, agreed. I think that there's going to be a lot of question marks around Conor McGregor's return, that leg, and how that holds up. Chandler has been the more active guy. So I would assume that Chandler is going to be the favorite here in and around, what, 2-1?
So, Cody, unless I am mistaken, it is minus 110 on both sides. I looked it up on bestfightodds.com. Yep, there it is, from DraftKings Sportsbook. Minus 110 on both sides. Now, getting predictive when it comes to forecasting betting lines. Like, Kenny, if you saw what I predicted for some of these lines, like for UFC 284 before I write them down, god awful, right? So it's not always the most exact science. Mm-hmm. Take Masvidal and Burns, for example. Now, I understand that Gilbert Burns is going to be a favorite, and in my mind, prohibitively so. But minus 500 to me is still a huge number, and that is not me denigrating Gilbert Burns. And now that that fight is in Miami, you know, I don't think it hurts either guy. It's a home game for Gilbert Burns as well, but the king of the 305 is Jorge Gamebred Masvidal, and right now he's north of plus 400. To me, that's a huge number. All right, let us briefly get into UFC Fight Night, Lewis versus Spivak. We call him Spivak here on the Anakin and Florian podcast. Fucking Spivak out there. So you felt like this main event result was an eventuality. You felt like this matchup for Derek Lewis at whatever stage of his career was just not good. And obviously you lauded Sergey Spivak in the process, but you made it a 3-unit play. And whether you stayed up until 3:30 in the morning or not, it didn't take long for you to get this one to the get this one home. So what were your thoughts on the budding heavyweight contender, Sergey Spivak?
You know, I think it's a reminder for everyone out there who gets excited when they see a guy lean out. We are so programmed to look at visual things like what we see. Oh, the guy looks jacked and he looks this and he looks leaned out. And I saw him lift this and this. Like, nobody cares. You need skills at the end of the day. Okay. And Spivak was a terrible matchup for Derek Lewis. I am just always blown away by Spivak and how technical his takedowns are. Nobody seems to be talking about this or appreciating the high level takedowns that he's doing. You know, this isn't just a regular single leg or a double leg, which of course can be appreciated and are very difficult to pull off. But when I see a guy looking for foot trips and immediately combo off of that into a head and arm throw right into side control, this is high level stuff, guys. I don't think people realize how difficult it is to execute high level judo skills in mixed martial arts. So Spivak's a problem. He stayed on Derek Lewis and exposed a vulnerability in Derek Lewis that is just not going to get short up at this stage of the game. You know, yes, he looked like he was leaner, but that's not going to improve his jiu-jitsu skills. He's got to be on the ground working that every single day, a couple times a day. That is the hardest skill, grappling, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, sambo, whatever the grappling skill. You need to improve that and do it for a long period of time. And Derek Lewis has never looked comfortable. He's never looked dangerous on the ground. He always seems like he's lost down there. And that's going to be the case moving forward. This is why it was not a good fight for him, and the lack of consistency, and then the full consistency on Spivak's side. You know, this is a guy who's very consistent. He knows exactly what he needs to do, goes out there and executes it. And I thought it was a very, very clean performance from him.
I'm really excited to see Sergey Spivak now against one of the heavyweight division's elite. And Cody, if you could populate the chat with the top 10, I'd appreciate that. You know, sometimes it is hard to quantify what you're seeing. Even for somebody like me who is paid to watch these UFC live events 25 times a year, am I supposed to sort of denigrate Derek Lewis because I feel, not that I feel shortchanged by the main event, like I felt like I knew what was going to happen. You know, our podcast producer felt like Derek Lewis, you know, felt like Spivak should have been minus 1,000, right? Like, am I supposed to credit Spivak as you have done, or am I supposed to just like get excited about Spivak now against one of the division's elite? Because candidly, for me, Kenny, like, I woke up to watch this fight and I didn't even bother not getting a spoiler. It just felt like an eventuality, right?
Yeah.
Just avoid that early onslaught from Derek Lewis or whatever it is, get him down. And, you know, yeah, I mean, Derek Lewis was able to, you know, force these perpetual mat returns because he was able to get up. But my gosh, man, like, I don't know. I just, if I look at Shamil Abdurakhimov against Jailton Almeida, at least Shamil is like desperate and urgent and right. Am I nuts? Yeah.
No, absolutely. And this is a performance, unfortunately, I would think that is going to cause the UFC to really look at Derek Lewis and go, I don't know if we can have him in a main event again. And that's going to hurt him in a lot of different ways. And maybe he's done. Maybe he doesn't really care about that stuff. But for the UFC, it's unfortunate because he was one of those guys that you can rely on to go out there, fight and fight hard. But I think that that weakness on the ground, his inability to adapt and adjust over time and really improve that skill. And this performance here where he literally did nothing. There is not like a lot of times as a fighter, you're like, okay, I lost, but let me see what I can do to improve. And let me look for some positives here. There's just no positives here for Derek Lewis in this fight, unfortunately. I love the guy. He's hilarious. He's always going to be dangerous on the feet. But this was one of those where I'm not sure we'll see him in a main event for a very long time unless he's able to go on some kind of long streak. Because right now, you're not selling the fans on a Derek Lewis main event at this anytime
soon. No, you're right. You're right. And you say it respectfully as usual. You give him a striker, maybe on pay-per-view, but you can't give him a well-rounded top seven heavyweight at this stage of his career. It's just not going to happen. And, you know, the positives for Derek Lewis, obviously the show money, the bankroll, the bank account, whatever that check is going to be for this headlining spot. The UFC has long had a penchant for headlining heavyweights. And, you know, there are a lot of women that headline. There are a lot of heavyweights that headline. If you look at the UFC fight nights annually, and it certainly goes back to the Joe Silva days with the heavyweights. I understand it, right? Baddest men on the planet collectively. But yeah, I would agree with you. So in terms of Sergey Spivak, as we spin it forward, Ken Flo, I know we had Marcin Tybura, who is number 10 in the world, win a fight on this very card against Blagoj Ivanov. I mean, I think you could headline Spivak again every day of the goddamn week. Jarzinho Rozenstruik is out there at number 9 in the world. Derek Lewis was 7, so you got to think that Sergey Spivak moves into that top 7. Tom Aspinall on the mend, number 6 in the world. You know, Aspinall has actually talked about an outside chance that he gets back for UFC 286. I don't see that. But any thoughts on who you'd like to see next for the polar bear, Sergey Spivak?
Well, I kind of like a nice, consistent, steady climb up. I don't think it warrants a huge jump up because he's still getting the right experience. He didn't get any challenge in this fight. But the other guy, the other heavyweight who fought, Marcin Tybura, why not put him up against Sergey Spivak? Isn't one of those things that people are going to go nuts about, but Tybura is very consistent. He's fighting very smart right now. And I think that's another one where if you do see Spivak as a guy who could challenge for the belt in the future, I think that's a nice challenge for him to gain a lot of experience and improve from there. And we'll see exactly how good he is because Tybura is definitely a tough challenge for him.
In terms of Derek Lewis and the cardio and maybe the body fat, right? I will agree with you. I will try as an MMA fan and a broadcaster, more importantly, I will try to not lean so much into that stuff. But when Zhang Weili, Ken Flo, picks up fucking Francis Ngannou, right? That still should count for something, right? Is that okay if I use that on the broadcast, right? Because sometimes there are things like that, honestly, like how many strawweights, right? Other than Zhang Weili and maybe Jessica Andrade, and I'm sure there are a bunch of Tatiana Suarez motherfucking me out there somewhere. Casey O'Neill, I love you. I'm not talking about your division right now. But Kenny, how many strawweights are going to be able to pick up Francis Ngannou the way Zhang Weili did, right? Like sometimes I feel like there's something that actually we should lean the fuck into, no?
Yeah, I'm also just thinking about how Anik needs to go into stand-up comedy at some point. Yeah, no, I agree, dude. She is one of the best athletes in the UFC, period. The improvements, the athleticism that she displays in the UFC, it's something you got to talk about because how many people look like that technically and physically in such a short amount of time. That you got to be something special in order to do that. So yes, there are exceptions, no question
about
it.
Thank you. So yeah, I'm kind of on one a little bit this morning. So the whole routine about you can ignore the queen, but she's still the queen with the mug, right? Like you could turn that into stand-up comedy. You absolutely could. Is sexism still allowed in 2023?
If it's comedy, it's all good.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I have, you know, I have things I could say negatively about men and women, you know.
Right.
I happen to enjoy hanging out with men more than hanging out with women. But to the women who listen to this program, God love you. All right. So a couple of big retirements this week, Ken Flo. Tom Brady, Fedor Emelianenko. So I'm going to take you on a little trip down memory lane. I promise I won't bring up your career and embarrass you. But Fedor Emelianenko retires after a loss to Ryan Bader. And this dude was the man. Like when I was first starting to cover mixed martial arts, it's like, hey, man, Fedor Emelianenko, right? Forget Nomar, right? You want a one name athlete. It's Fedor and it's probably Fyodor and you better pronounce his name correctly. And at the time we started MMA Live, 2007, 2008, Fedor had just defeated 7'2" Hongman Choi to improve to 28-1. Hongman Choi, by the way, would go on to beat the likes of Jose Canseco. Anyway, so Fedor was 28-1 when we launched the live in 2008. And obviously he retires here at 46 years of age with a bevy of legends behind him. A pretty cool visual over the weekend for the great Fedor Emelianenko.
I was such a huge fan of Fedor Emelianenko over time. He beat a lot of jiu-jitsu legends, and that pissed me off. And I was like, I want to see some jiu-jitsu guy out there. Just submit him, beat him, do something. And Big Nog was my guy. And I was like, he's going to be the guy. He was not the guy. Fedor just beat everybody in his path. And I think when he beat Krokop in the rematch, which was one of the most special fights in mixed martial arts history. You know, I would get up. I was one of those guys who'd get up like middle of the night to watch Pride. Fedor was just right after that. I was like, dude, I got it. And I studied him a lot and I learned so much from his fights. He was one of the best heavyweights, no question about it. And it's sad, you know, someone posted something about how mixed martial arts does legends dirty consistently. And well, maybe there's an argument for that, but you have to understand that it's fighters themselves that a lot of times do that. You know, it'd be nice to kind of jump on that bandwagon and say, it's all the promotion's fault, who loves to throw them out to die out there against, you know, some younger talent. But the fighters oftentimes are the ones making the decision to fight way past their prime. And you know, that oftentimes is more sad than anything else. And you have to understand, if you're going out there and you want to be a part of this promotion and be a part of these big fights, they're not going to give you just some can out there. They're going to give you someone tough. And you don't always have a choice. And if you decide to continue fighting and you are past your prime, it's kind of on you. And I think so many fighters fight way past their prime. And in the process, end up kind of at the very least diluting their legacy. On the other spectrum of things, they end up destroying their legacy. I can give you plenty of examples. I don't want to disrespect anybody, but it's sad. And I would love to remember Fedor as the guy who was the best heavyweight in the world at a certain point. Of course, we never saw him come over to the UFC and challenge the likes of Cain Velasquez and Brock Lesnar and some of the other guys, but so that was unfortunate, but you know, I would have liked to seen Fedor Emelianenko retire several years ago. But hey, this is mixed martial arts. It keeps him happy. It keeps him motivated and inspired. And you know, who the hell am I? But it's just sad to see a lot of these guys who are true legends of the game just stick around for too long.
Even if in the case of Fedor Emelianenko, you retire having won two of your last three, even if you get some wins, it doesn't necessarily mean that maybe you shouldn't have retired a little bit earlier. But it is interesting when you talk about the legendary fighters, and we're not going to mention them by name, but there are probably a dozen or two legends, right? I'm going to come back to it. Wikipedia pages, right? Just looks like a Jamaican beard, just a bunch of red stripe, just red stripe everywhere. So I agree with you. in the case of a lot of these fighters, they stick around a little bit too long. I don't think that the UFC necessarily does wrong by the legends. You know, we do go to great lengths with the UFC Hall of Fame to try to acknowledge all of these athletes. And I do think in time, like, most of the people who are on the outside looking in are going to get into the UFC Hall of Fame. But yeah, I mean, always more could be done. And to that end, by the way, did you happen to see the visual of all the legends with Fedor Emelianenko? All right, so I'm going to mention them all by name very quickly if I could. Dan Henderson, Renzo Gracie, Chael Sonnen, Randy Couture, Mark Coleman, Frank Shamrock, Josh Barnett, Matt Hughes, Hoyce Gracie, the Iceman Chuck Liddell, Quentin Rampage Jackson. You never get in that again. That was really cool to see. I would imagine, Kenny, for a guy like you who fought for titles, you know, in and around the time that a lot of these guys were relevant, it was pretty cool for you to see that assemblage of talent, if you will.
No question about it. It shows the amount of respect that other legends in the game had for Fedor. You know, that was their era, and Fedor sat above everybody else on the throne when they were all fighting. So pretty cool to see that support.
My guy Frank Shamrock out there, right? Every, you were trying to bang on Frank Shamrock. Fucking legend, man. Go look up Frank Shamrock in his prime. A lot of injuries. The first MMA event that I covered in Tunica, Mississippi in 2007, the main event was Frank Shamrock against Renzo Gracie. And again, I'm an impressionable, formative year type MMA fan at this point in time. And it was an illegal knee to the head, I believe, from Frank Shamrock to Renzo Gracie that called an end to the main event. Now, you can imagine my excitement. I'm there like doing radio all week in Tunica, Mississippi, my first ever live mixed martial arts event, Elite XC 1, and it ends unceremoniously. You know, so I wanted Renzo to fight on. So for years, I was like Team Shamrock, you know. So like, so,
it was a couple illegal knees, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, back then, 2007, those are fucking legal as far as I'm concerned. Any promotion. So Tom Brady also retires. Yes. And obviously for you and me, we're essentially the same age as the guy. And much of the joy of our lives as sports fans was rooted in things that this guy was doing on the field. And, you know, I have said repeatedly that I thought Tom Brady would finally walk away when he started to regress a little bit. And he's 45 years of age. That has always been a number that he has trotted out there. But I think he finally saw that his skills were starting to recede a little bit. Yeah. And even though he's still top five in terms of accuracy in my mind and, you know, still could take a team and win a Super Bowl next year, I think he finally felt like there was a little bit of a chink in the armor and a good time to walk away. So
I think that's when you do it, right? And people were criticizing him, you know, anytime he was, you know, in his 40s, like, what is he doing? This is crazy. And, you know, you'd always hear the talk. Even if he was winning, people would love to talk about that number. And, you know, this year was not the best of years for him. And this is when you do it, because people are going to still remember Tom Brady as that dude. When the Patriots were down, and it almost didn't matter what that number was, how much they were down in, and we always thought there was hope if Tom Brady had the ball. And oftentimes, more often than not, he would find a way to win. That kind of championship mentality, that drive, the hard work that he put in the offseason, how detailed he was with his diet up until, you know, this year, and how good he kept himself in shape and how much he studied and all that stuff, the level of performance. I don't care what sport you're talking about. He will be one of the greatest athletes of all time. And what makes the story even better is he was forgotten about. He was this guy who came into the league as a sixth round draft choice. Drew Bledsoe, who was the guy that the Patriots built their team around, happened to get injured. And Tom Brady went in there and never gave Drew Bledsoe a chance to get back in there, essentially, which is crazy because Drew was the man, still the man, right? And Tom Brady came out of nowhere to be the greatest quarterback of all time. So I don't know. It's just many movies can be made about the legend of Tom Brady.
And hopefully in that movie, yes, thank you, Tommy. And maybe you and I can call an NFL football game at some point in the not-too-distant future, although he's going to be on that A-team forever. I'm sort of like a D-team guy. He is also Sean Shelby's first cousin. So, you know, when Sean Shelby goes into the UFC Hall of Fame, perhaps we'll see Tommy there. But you could be sure Tom Brady's going to be at one of these UFC live events coming up. And really sort of to piggyback on your point, and then we are going to get to Ray Longo, who I'm sure is getting a little bit impatient there in the waiting room. But perhaps of all the great numbers for Tom Brady, the seven Super Bowls, the one that stands out the most, to piggyback your point, 40 fourth quarter or overtime comeback wins, right?
Yeah.
Next closest, great. Drew Brees with 27, 40 times trailing in the fourth quarter. God. Those are W's for Tom Brady. All right, big weekend coming up for UFC 284. A couple of title fights. It's one epic night. You know what I'm talking about. UFC 284, Makhachev versus Volkanovski this weekend. Islam vying to keep his title, and the Volk man hoping to make history as the first Aussie to simultaneously hold a belt in two divisions. And we invite you to get in on the MMA action with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. So one way or another, history is going to be made. I'm leaving for Perth on Monday. Can't wait to get there. And can't wait to see candidly how Volk matches up with the otherworldly Islam Makhachev. You also got Yair Rodriguez taking on Josh Emmett for the interim featherweight title. And are you back in Perth's own Jack Della Maddalena, 3-1 favorite now over the UFC-tested Randy Brown? A lot of ways to get after it. Dozen or so matchups at UFC 284. And if the excitement in the octagon is not enough, football fans, don't forget, you can join the big game action that is happening this coming Sunday at DraftKings Sportsbook. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Not now, but right now. Use code AFPOD. That is code AFPOD, one word. New customers bet $5 on UFC 284 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly this Saturday at DraftKings Sportsbook with code AFPOD. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right. Star of the show is waiting. Let's get to him. It's the Ray Longo Minute.
It's now time for the Ray Longo Minute.
I want you to punch a hole in his fucking chest. That's what I want.
The Ray Longo Minute. John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. I think Ray Longo's old enough, but I tell you, the guy's aging in reverse. It is amazing how good you look relative to, the year on your driver's license. No wrinkles, no bags under the eyes, seemingly. Yeah, perhaps it's because you live in the cold, you stay out of the sun, but you look great. Just sun splashed on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, live in the cold, but definitely don't stay out of the sun. Code AF Pod.
No, we know you don't.
Code AF Pod. That's all.
Code AF Pod. We know you don't stay out of the sun because you have been caught photographically, as a lot of us public figures have, in a very tan state. Not quite like the big tan Dan Mergliotta, right? But pretty fucking tan. No? I mean, you've been pretty tan in some of these photos.
Dan's in a tanning bed. I'm out in the natural sun. That's the difference.
100%. Yours is the natural vitamin D. And inevitably, is going to start a thread with our Anik and Florian podcast listeners and the Minutemen with Ray Longo tan photographs. Find some of the big tan Dan Mergliotta while you're at it. So, you know, I was showing folks my mug off the top of the show. This was not a planned bit, even though Ken Flo thinks that I can moonlight as a stand-up comic. It says you can ignore the queen, but she's still the queen. And so we ask you, if somebody got you a mug, one of your daughters gets you a mug. It says you can ignore the king, but he's still the king. How do you feel about that mug? You like that mug?
You can ignore the king, but he's still the king. I like that mug. Yeah, I like
it. Okay. So you're okay. People just fucking ignore you.
Oh, you know why? Because that's what's happening right about now.
Right. So
I'm heading into those years where I'm probably Uncle Junior at this point. I'm just a figurehead. I think I'm running something, but I'm not running anything. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I would accept that. I'm accepting aging very gracefully.
So I got this gift for my wife, right? Really, because it's like a message like, hey, to my daughter, right, Riley, who actually is starting to listen to the Anik and Florian podcast. So it's like, hey, Riley, right? She's listening now, right? You little bitch. Like, you can ignore the queen, but she's still the queen, right? So you can ignore all you want, but she's still the queen. She can still put you in your place, right? But I was just saying off the top of the show, like, I don't want to be ignored, whether I'm the king. Like, I'd rather people pay attention to what I'm saying than anoint me the king. So I don't want that mug. That's all.
I'll take them. Wait, talk about your kids, man. Your son is what an adorable kid. I forget the post, but man, this kid, he can melt you, Kenny. No.
Oh, he looks like he's a little troublemaker too. I love it.
Yeah, and I tell you, if somebody gets a mug, but you can ignore the king. I think he's the king right now.
He is the king.
He 100% looks like the king. What I'm looking at.
Whatever. I have to say,
adorable kid.
My closest friends in the world, guys like Ray Longo and Brian Stan, guys who don't have sons, just like salivate over my son. Yeah, right. Yeah, Brian Stan's reaching out to me like, man, this kid just melts my heart. I don't know why. Yeah. It's like, well, maybe because you have five daughters, Brian Stan, and zero sons. Right. Yeah. No, but he's very cute. I think you're talking about when he fell during the national anthem, maybe at the Bruins Panthers.
I think that was it. Yeah. Wait, hold on. Stan has five daughters.
Yes, three are his, and two are stepdaughters that are his. Wow. Essentially, yeah.
That's a real man.
It's actually a pretty amazing synergy between the five of them.
You know what? But John, I was amazed at his combat service, but I'm more amazed.
Combat service. Yeah, I'm not done yet. Yeah.
Thank God he was well prepared. You know.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. But yeah, you know Weidman's kid too. Little CJ.
Yeah.
It's crazy, though. So you watch those kids grow up, or even, you know, till 12 or 13 at this point. Wow. It's actually phenomenal. It's crazy. But
wife and I are pretty aligned when it comes to the way we parent. But one way we sort of disagree is that, like, I'm okay letting the kid fall maybe more than she is. So the video that you referenced, my son almost like facials on the metal stairs at the Florida Panthers ice hockey game. Whereas my wife probably wants me to close that distance. And I'm like, this kid's going to fall. I'm already filming. Like, I just can tell. Like, the dude thinks he's the fucking man. He's about to fucking fall. Now, he caught himself. But for me as a parent, and Kenny, I don't know where you fall on this, but I need the kid to fall and get a couple stitches. Otherwise, he's going to think he's Superman. He thinks he's the fucking Hulk smash all the time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. My son literally will, like, his name is Archer. It's funny. But he'll arch as you're holding him. He thinks he can do a backflip. Like out of your arms, you know, under whatever, you know, he jumps he wants to walk down. He's only a year and a half. He wants to walk down the stairs. He jumps off the stairs as he does stuff. He climbs anything and everything. You can't control him, man. Kids, like, boys are so different from girls. It's
crazy.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Cause I was going to say I think your mentality is the right mentality. Cause I'll tell you, how old were you when you had your son, John?
10 days before my 40th birthday, 39.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, I'm a fucking ancient,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no, Jeez.
Reaction? Holy shit.
No, because you know what I was going to say? Like, I watched, like, Weidman and, you know, Chris and Marivi. They were young parents, and it's totally different. They're fearless. I mean, the stuff they went through. Like, I was already, I think I was 37 probably. So I can't believe that you were, that's great.
I got you both.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I really do believe, and we will get back to mixed martial arts, I assure you, in a second. I believe there's some benefits to parenting at an advanced age for me and Kenny, right? You know?
Yeah.
I really do. I was a fucking idiot when I was 27. You know, I'm still
I'm glad I did it when I was older, because I'd say the same thing.
Yeah, my point is, I was very protective, overprotective, which I don't think is a good thing. That's why I say, like, when you see the younger people, they roll with stuff that I'm having a heart attack over, but I don't know what it would have been like at 27. You know what I mean? So, like you say, we were crazier. So I don't know. I think the kids become more adventurous. My kids are doing great, but they definitely I wouldn't even let them walk down the block by themselves. You know what I mean? That's why when you get older, it's just you know too much crazy stuff.
Exactly.
And I think that's a plus and a minus, but that's for another conversation. Yeah.
Meantime, Kenflo just becomes a more lethal self-defense weapon. Like, every day, if you're on the Instagram Kenny Florian, I mean,
stuff,
Jesus,
Kenny.
Man. All right, Kenny.
Kenny, I want in on that stuff. I love it. My old Jeet Kune Do days. I'm freaking, I love it.
It's so fun. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
And I got some good people with some good gun stuff in the gym, too, that you would love.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love it.
All right. So we have a few things to get to. Excuse me, with Ray Longo. Now, I'm wearing my Ray Longo Minute t-shirt today because I'm going to come at you a little bit as far as this extra rounds program is concerned on UFC Fight Pass.
Oh my God.
So you, what you got? You have your own segment on this show now, like Ask Ray or something. Is that what it is?
John, I just,
this is not a comedy bit.
John, I just roll with the punches. I don't know if you can get that head movement in there, but I'm just rolling, baby. I just go with the flow.
Oh, we got the head movement. Your Wi-Fi has never been a problem. Just your hair and your tardiness.
We're like the jealous girlfriend.
What the hell's my hair? I don't.
No, your hair's fine.
You know, goes back to Kenny a couple of weeks ago. I still can't get over that. At what age do you stop giving a shit? Because I don't know what age.
There is an age.
Yeah,
there is an age.
Yeah, Kenny, there is an age. And I know I'm in it right now because I just don't give a shit, man. I don't know what. Right. I wish I did. I really do. I want to give a shit. I just can't. But
no, so I love good. It.
There's so another quote right there. Boom.
Yeah.
But, it is. You're right. I mean, can we print the shirts already? I mean, this guy's just a walking quote machine.
Look, I'm at a point in my life where I like helping people and just, I don't know. What's the problem with that?
Who are you helping? MMA fans with this extra rounds program? No, I'm saying Ask Ray if people want to ask you a question.
No, it's TJ's show. I love the guy.
Okay, all right, So TJ DeSantis,
he's a very nice guy. We're not going to attack him either.
Friend of mine.
Yeah.
Legendary TJ DeSantis, original producer of the Anakin Florian podcast. You know, without him, none of this is possible, right? As Joe Rogan says about Dana White. But I mean, did they poach you to whatever degree? And this is just in the script here. I mean, I don't know that you get that gig without the Anakin Florian podcast. Do you ever worry about like oversaturation or no?
Listen, if I had a game on social media, I mean, there would be guys. Don't tweet that. You can't. No, you got to. No. Don't tweet. Don't you? You'll oversaturate. I don't even care about that. So I'm going back to Kenny's thing. I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't care about oversaturation because
I'm totally messing with you.
No, I know. But mess with me. I do Buffer's podcast all the time. Anytime Buffer calls, I tell you I do the podcast. If he called every week, I'm doing it. So you know, I just want to enjoy myself in my twilight years. Is there anything wrong with that?
No, but I'll tell you right now, like if you commit to doing It's Time like 30, 40 times a year, you're fucking gone.
So. No, listen, priority wise, AF Pod. What was the code again? AF Pod?
There you go.
You guys called nothing standard.
Oh
in the way.
My gosh.
The priority is Anakin Florian.
Good.
All right,
John Anik and Kenny Florian. That I do give a shit about.
My man, it's all love. I mean, again, my second marriage. You are in the wedding. You're a groomsman. You might be the best man. We'll see. You know. All right.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Growing up, my cousin got married, and he put my father as the best man. He was 44 at the time, which is at that time was crazy because people get married at 19 and 20.
Right.
There was like a 25-year age gap, so that's probably coming down the pipe. I'll be 70 as the best man. Well, people get married later too, so we'll see.
You'll be 70, so you're saying my second wedding is happening in 7 years. I mean, at least going to let Hunter turn 18.
I wish it was 7 years. I think it's happening in 2 years. But
wow. Bruce Buffer would actually be the oldest groomsman, which is neither here nor there. All right.
So let's go.
You see, I'm getting a home game, Miami, Florida, UFC 287. How good is this, right? For the first time in 20 years, and they're getting Masvidal Burns and Adesanya Pereira, Act 2/Act 4. I mean, dude, Miami's going to be lit. We got to get you boys down here.
Oh, man. I hope Frivola was supposed to be on the card, so I'm still hoping there's an outside chance, but we'll see.
I should have used a different adjective than lit, maybe, Cody. Could fix that in post. But all right, a few other things I would like to get to with you. The main event last night in the UFC's heavyweight division. All hail Sergey Spivak. I'm excited to see him against one of the division's elite. But for a lot of us, we just kind of felt like this was what was going to happen, that it was kind of going to be a quick fight. And, you know, Derek Lewis just wasn't ready for primetime for one reason or another, wasn't ready for this stylistic challenge. Any thoughts for us on the heavyweight main event that evaporated about 7 hours ago?
Yeah, right. I mean, obviously, I was up till 4 a.m. When did that?
You watched that live?
I did watch it live. Yeah.
Is that for extra rounds? They make you do that?
No, definitely not. No, I watched it for this. What are you talking about?
Well, I watched it this morning. I didn't stay up till 4 o'clock in the goddamn morning.
Well, I just woke up and came downstairs to do the podcast. We went through this last week, didn't we? But I tell you, but the way he got ragdolled was pretty bad, man. I mean, that I don't think we've ever seen like over and over again, just with the wrestling. It was very one-sided. And I think there's life in the heavyweight division. Well, you got a couple of guys now that look really good. So I think the heavyweight division is between the fight coming up with Gon and Jones, they got some good fights they can make. So I'm excited for that.
The other thing I just wanted to throw your way, I sort of referenced Fedor Emelianenko near the top of the show, and he was omnipresent in our early coverage of mixed martial arts when Kenny and I were on MMA Live at ESPN in 2008. And I have always put that guy on a pedestal, and I know he didn't fight in the UFC, but when you look at all the legends that came out for him last night, you were embedded in this sport back then. Yeah. How do you best quantify Fedor's legacy and his greatness?
First, let me just say, I watched that fight too, which, you know, like we had that discussion, not wanting to see guys go out like that. But the fact that they had all like Coleman and all the guys in the ring, you could see that Fedor was sincerely touched. I thought they did a great job on that end of it. You know, he looks around and you could see that just the human side. Whereas when he was coming up, he was more like just a stone cold killer. Those piercing blue eyes, heavy handed, was taking care of business with everybody. I didn't like when he started losing a little bit, you know, and he kept going. I never liked that. Cause he's another guy that if he would have stopped at the right time, I think that would have just magnified his legacy. So the fact that he never got to fight in the UFC, which was always the biggest show around, I think it speaks volumes to him because he's still known throughout the world. So he didn't need that platform. And I think that, I think that speaks volumes that that's how good and how dominating he was at one time. And yeah. I think it's just everything. It was his approach, his quietness, you know, but you knew there was he was just an animal inside. Oh. But he had, I like the way he carried himself. I think he was always a gentleman. I didn't know him. Like, I never met him or anything, but just always carried himself with class in victory and defeat. And I think that's what you want out of a champion. Yeah. And I wish we would have got to see him, you know, against some of the guys in the UFC. I think that would have been better. But still, to build a legacy like that without that, I think it goes to show you who he is. And, wow, was he appreciative last night? And, again, it was – we talked about, I don't like that, but for some reason it was a good feeling to me. I got a warm, yeah, fuzzy feeling. It was nice. Very, very nice. And even the guys in there, you could see, you know, a lot of legends, you know, and they all came out to support him. And I think it was great. I thought Bellator did, Scott Coker did a great job with that.
Yeah. You set it up beautifully and you set up a great visual too, especially for people who are just listening to this podcast, right? Piercing blue eyes, and then he'll just fucking maul you or knock, yeah, you. Like, and I guess for me, just because those were my formative years, Kenny, as an MMA fan, like the visual of Fedor in the octagon, or excuse me, God help me, the visual of Fedor in a cage setting, like about to fight, just always felt enormous. So we congratulate Fedor Emelianenko on a Hall of Fame career.
And John, I like those guys that, you know, they're not jumping around like hyenas, right? Just go in, do your business. You're looking across the ring. The guy is expressionless. You know, there's nothing. You know what I mean? Like, you just, it's rare that you find those guys that you look in their eyes and it's just like blank. But, you know, there's a storm coming. You know what I mean? Like, I've been eyeball to eyeball with some fucking pretty serious guys. It's a pretty shitty feeling, you know? And that's the feeling I get from TV when I'm looking at him. It's like, what the fuck is going on? And, you know, then he's got, you know, and the Russian thing is always good, right? You know, that's always, you know, like growing up and with the Cuban Missile Crisis and all that stuff, it's always was a rivalry, like, kind of there. And they just seemed like they were stone cold killers, and he fit the part and he could back it up. So great career. And again, to see the human side last night was great for me anyway.
You're muted, Kenflo.
And of course, if you go back a little bit more, sorry about that. You know, there was Oleg Tokhtarov and all that stuff,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
in
yeah.
early UFCs, but Fedor, I think, was that guy that really inspired a whole generation of Russian fighters.
Right.
You know, there were so many people. Sergei Spivak, right, who just fought this weekend, said that was one of the guys that he used to watch that inspired him to get into mixed martial arts. So, you know, Fedor, I think, was responsible largely for a huge contingent of fighters coming out of Russia and seeing that, hey, these Sambo fighters can be some of the best in the world.
Yeah, no, unequivocally. Yeah, exactly. It was really, you know, like again, and he just, even in losing, like even last night, I mean, that was a beatdown by Beta. It really was. It was a pretty bad beatdown. But he just, the way he took it was just, it made it better.
He took it well. He took it all right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It made it better. And I hope he's okay. And I hope he really enjoys the rest of his life. And it looks like he's going to go. He's got a couple of fighters. He'll stick with the coaching. And, you know, they had clips of him teaching. You could still see he's still got the raw power. But, you know, all that other stuff, timing and awareness, that just, it leaves you. You know what I mean? So he really couldn't find Beta. He was swinging for the fences. But, and hats off to Ryan Beta, man. It's great to see him still killing it, you know, because he's been out of the UFC for a while, but it was just a great moment, I thought.
And they did disclose the purses, I believe, because the fight was in California. It looked like Ryan Bader made $150,000 and maybe Fedor Emelianenko $100,000. Now, obviously, that doesn't speak to the totality of the night. You hope for Fedor it was at least north of $500,000 to be competing at 46 years of age. All right, before we let you go, Ray, two other items. Big fights on your horizon. Obviously, we sit here February 5. So March 11th, I believe, is Piotr Jan and Mehrab Dwalishvili under the lights in Las Vegas.
Yeah, correct.
That's a big fight. Anything else on your horizon in the next 3 to 4 weeks?
Well, February 18th, I have Nazim Sadikov fighting. He's a great fighter, had a great camp. He's making his UFC debut off a Contender Series knockout. So very excited for him. Fighting a tough guy out of Killcliff. I think they changed the name to Henry's guy. Very excited for that fight. And then move on. Hopefully I'll stay out there a couple of days and just see what's going on with Mehrab, just so I could touch base with him. But, you know, we've video talked a little bit. Me and Aljo did a little video breakdown for him. Nothing much, but, you know, I hope to stay out there and see how he's doing. But it looks like he's doing fine, so...
Good.
That's a huge fight. So I got two really big fights coming up, and a lot of local guys before that on March 3rd. We got, you know, Bazooka, Anthony Dilemme, Armando Gaethje. There's a lot of fights. Dylan Montello's fighting. I can't even name all. With Pompos is fighting this Friday in Boston. He's going up to Joe Cavalieri's show. You know, I
think
Joe Cav.
One of our students, Sanad Armudi, is going to be fighting on that card too. So that'll be cool. Yeah,
he's not fighting my guy, is he?
No.
Go Florian Martial Arts Center.
Oh shoot! But anyway, so I'm excited for that. Pompos had a great camp. I'm not going to go up there because I'm going to sit back with Nas. He's finishing up, and then we head to Vegas. So it's the gym is just – it's crazy at this point. I don't know. It
seems like a lot of your best prospects are in action here over the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You're going to see a couple of more guys on the Contender Series. Very, very excited. It's always exciting when the guys are coming up and they just want to get in the UFC and, you know, everybody's doing good. Plus, let me – and another huge fight. When is that? March 31st, Justin Montavo's fighting a guy in the kid in Bellator. His name slipped me. Really good. A good prospect Bellator picked up.
Hey, come on. I got 41 shows a year with the UFC. I don't know what to tell you. I can't bail you out here. You know?
No. That's why I love what
you But I'm does. Glad you know you gave Justin Montavo
No. He's got a big fight coming up, and he looks fucking fantastic. We got a couple of killers in the gym. There's a Russian kid coming up who 23 years old, Kenny. These guys, I don't know. I'm excited for him. He gets squared away. You're going to see that kid make a big splash too. So I hope I didn't leave anybody out. Let me just think.
By the way, it's Archie Colgan who's facing
Archie Colgan, who's really good. He beat one of my guys. It was a really close fight, but he 100% won.
About to fuck up another one of your guys, Montalvo, March 31, huh?
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Totally kidding. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I've actually had a hell of a week, by the way. All right, so Bellator 293, March 31st, Archie Colgan taking on your guy, Montalvo. All right, before I let you go, this question is for both of you guys. Cody's making me laugh in the chat.
Oh, yeah.
Don't go at the fucking queen right now.
Wait, John, I can't answer any questions. I can only do that on extra rounds. Is that? Did you take a question?
You're welcome for the promotion of extra rounds on UFC Fight Pass.
It's all good.
Seriously,
we're one big family.
No, but honestly, just go on Buffer Show 20 times this year and, see what happens, right? It's almost like that bar graph, right? Fuck around and find out, right? You fuck around, you find out. Fuck around and find out. All right. So this last question is for both of you guys. And UFC 284 picks are coming up later in the week, folks, okay? What is the longest you have been on an airplane singularly in your entire life? So for me, the answer is about to change, right? The longest I have been on an airplane in my life, 15 hours and 55 minutes from Hong Kong to Dallas. And then I theretofore went from Dallas back to South Florida, right? The longest that I will go on a plane is about to be the middle leg of these three flights on my itinerary to Perth, Western Australia, from Houston, Texas to Sydney, 17 hours and 45 minutes.
Damn.
Yeah, so you're on the plane for 19 hours, essentially. So,
Yeah, I think I got you beat, though. I think I went from, you got to check it out, but I went from Canada to Japan, I think was 18
Ooh,
hours.
There you go. Kenny, any idea for you?
It was either Boston to Thailand or it was LA to Australia.
No,
Abu Dhabi. I think it was 18 hours on a flight, and I had the fucking norovirus, dude. It was horrible.
Oh man.
Oh.
Nothing could be worse.
That was when I had a jiu-jitsu match against Shaolin, and
Vitor Shaolin Ribeiro. This guy's fighting for his life on an 18-hour flight.
Flight attendant comes over. She's like, "Are you okay?" I was just like shaking on the plane.
It
was just like
airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Japan trip, that was the last time I flew coach. I got off that plane. My hips never been the same.
Oh, my God.
Killed me.
Man.
That trip killed me, man. They're horrible.
That's extra rounds flies you business class. That is crazy. Everywhere you go.
That's unbelievable. But so do you guys. So do you guys. You just don't know it yet.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Well, Ray Longo, we appreciate you. And we will talk to you in a week's time. We're very excited to recap UFC 284 coming up with you next week when I get back stateside. So have a great day and a better evening, as they say.
And you have a safe travel.
Thank you, buddy.
That's a big win. Who are you guys picking in the main event? Just let me know now. Who are we picking?
No, Kenny is going to – well, no. Kenny, you
oh,
know what?
This is a – oh, no, am, I Kenny, blowing the, am I blowing up a, the big
– Oh, look at you. Look at you.
Favorite pick spot.
I'm okay.
The main event challenge, I'm not allowed in there.
I'm okay. I love that you know the name of the segment. I'm okay if Kenny wants to give his main event selection as you give yours right now. He's going
to
give full picks later in the week. I'm okay.
Kenny, I assume you know right now.
No, I know.
I know DraftKings is counting on a secrecy thing.
But honestly, I don't even know at this stage. I'm not exactly sure. I could go either way. I've been watching fight footage and I'm still not exactly sure.
There you go. How about you, Ray? Which way are you going?
You know, it's hard to bet against Islam, right? But I if he's going to win Volk, I think it's a 5-round decision. It's all comes down to those scrambles, man. I don't know. I mean, we rewatched that the fight in Russia. Sarukian, was that a no? Not is that
yes?
Is that who we
call Armand Sarukian and Mahashev? Yeah.
Let me tell you something. That fight was kind of like a draw. That was one of the closest even fights. And please, people, don't go crazy when it was a draw. So I'm just having a conversation. But what a close fight. I mean, Islam really came on. I think he broke him in like the late third round. He got some control. But that fight was close. So not that that means anything. But can Volk, can he scramble like that? It's definitely going to be a different fight for him that he's not used to. But on the feet, I think he's quick and he could dance around if he could get up enough times and control the center of that octagon, maybe a decision. So I'd go out on the, I mean, I just like the odds at three, whatever we talked about last week. It's sometimes it's not who you think's going to win. It's like, is it worth taking the chance?
Well, you're exactly, look at you. You sound like a seasoned gambler. I mean, it's well, gambling 101. You're supposed to bet the number, not the fight.
They'll come out. I hate Dagestanians. The people's sick, man. Everybody's got to get a life. No, is it me?
Well, I think everybody's got to chill. Right now, Alexander Volkanovsky, by decision on DraftKings Sportsbook, is plus 600.
Wow.
So
I'm betting it.
All right. All right. Hey, we got to let you go. Have a bloody great Sunday, okay?
A bloody great Sunday. Yes, mate. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, you talk to you next week.
You
huh?
guys enjoy yourself.
Hey, see you, thank you, buddy.
Chip, chip, cheerio. Take care.
There he is. Raymond Peter Longo with us on the Anakin Florian podcast every week. Dating to episode one in April of 2015. All right, don't forget, Anakin Florian Rewind, exclusively on UFC Fight Pass, in which we look back at a UFC fight fun segment that we do. The Dean Thomas one is up, as is the Brandon Moreno one, and a lot of good ones coming up in the can as well. Don't forget, Remember the Show with Jason Anik and Bilal Muhammad, still live on the Anakin Florian podcast YouTube channel. Great spirited episode last Friday night, which I hope you will go check out. And they will be live again, I believe, this Thursday night at AnakinFlorianPodcast.com or on our Anakin Florian Podcast YouTube channel, which still has clips of this podcast, by the way. But full episodes, yes, now are on the DraftKings YouTube channel. And hopefully that is becoming increasingly easier for you to find. KennyFlorianMartialArts.com will be the website that I go to as soon as this fucking podcast is done. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to millions.co because yours truly has some new One More Sleep designs out for Perth, Western Australia for UFC 284. So millions.co, search A-N-I-K, and get yourself some One More Sleep merchandise. Anik Florian Podcast merch can be found at anikflorianpodcast.com. Coming up later in the week, we have another episode coming your way. Full predictions and a preview for UFC 284. Makhachev versus Volkanovski. We also sit down with mixed martial arts host, scoring expert, aficionado, the great Sean Sheehan from Severe MMA and SureDog.com. So thank you all. Tell your friends. Subscribe to DraftKings if you would be so inclined. Just makes it easier for you to find the episode. And we'll talk to you in a few short days. Until then, for Ken Flo, for Cody, I'm John Anik. So long. You'll later.